Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and I'm honored and privileged beyond words on this pre-convention weekend, in fact, this convention week, to be with us, and nothing could be even further from our dismay or displeasure, and nothing could be as important on our hearts is our guest today, as he is a treasurer of the Masjid in Cleveland, Ohio, Masjid Bilal, the Masjid, the first Masjid funded and built with African-American hands. That's a very powerful statement. And the great Imam Clyde Rahman, Rahmatullah Alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him and grant him the highest station in the paradise, was responsible for that Masjid. And his wonderful and marvelous staff. And we have with us today Brother Kareem Hassan from, I'm getting this from Los Angeles, California, but he's from Cleveland. I want to ask him to give us an opening statement and tell us what is on his heart as we join him on Religion Means Alive. Brother Kareem Hassan.
Thank you, Brother Imam, and on behalf of the resident Imam of Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Imam Shafiq Sabir, and the believers here in Cleveland, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And we are embarking on a building fund campaign, and we are trying to raise $200,000 to replace our roof and remodel Masjid Bilal in Cleveland. And we are asking for help. Anyone who can donate to this cause, please help us by donating or going to our website, www.masjidbilalofcleveland.org, or you can send a check or money order to Masjid Bilal Building Fund, 7401 Euclid Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio, 44103. And, Buddy Ma'am, Masjid Bilal was built back in 1983, and Imam Muhammad once said that we should build masjids that reflect our culture, meaning our African-American culture. And when he said that, Imam Clyde Rahman, who was the resident imam at the time, went to work. And he was project manager of the project, and along with him and 60% of the work that was done on the masjid was done by the believers.
Wow.
And when we opened our doors in June of 1983, we were debt-free. We owned the building and the property outright debt-free. And since that time, since 1983, it's been 31 years now, and we have not been able to maintain the building the way we wanted it to or the way we should. And we run into some problems, and we need the help of the general public. We have raised ourselves approximately $57,000 over the past 10 years, and that was from fundraisers and different kind of events. And that's about as far as we can go. And we're just asking for help from the general public.
Why should I, as an African-American who is a non-Muslim, and we have a lot of us African-American non-Muslims, we all know we are Muslims by nature, and African-Americans are basically Muslim not only by nature but historical circumstances. Why should I, as an African-American person, support Masjid Bilal in the historic Avenue section of Cleveland, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I know my history, that's the Hub District, the historical African-American neighborhood. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's near the Huff neighborhood. It is now located right down the street from the Cleveland Clinic, which is a renowned organization that's known all over the world. And as a matter of fact, we're blocks away from Cleveland Clinic. And it is in the heart of the African-American community. And we've been involved in the community for a long time. I know you know the history of Imam Clyde Rockman and his work in working in the African-American community. So we're an institution, and we're a staple in the community. And anybody who has drove past or drove down Euclid Avenue, you know, you see Masjid Bilal. And when we first started, that was a blighted area. And now it's been built up, and it's a nice area.
Now, will you tell us something about Imam Clyde Rockman? He has a lot of history in this community. Before I go to the Imam Clyde Rockman and this importance, I want to talk really about why Muslims who are African-Americans from the community of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, why they should support this effort.
Well, Brother Imam, like you said before, it is the first masjid that was built by members, African-American believers from the community of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And when we opened our doors back in June of 1983, Imam Muhammad, that was the first Juma that was held at Masjid Bilal, was conducted by Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Wow.
We had the first Ramadan sessions at Masjid Bilal in Cleveland. Imam W.D. Muhammad visited Masjid Bilal on numerous occasions. We first started what we then called back then the testimonial dinners, where we honored leaders in the community. We were the first ones to do that. And we're asking for believers from across the nation to help us maintain Masjid Bilal. And as a matter of fact, I forgot that it was Imam W.D. Muhammad who named Masjid Bilal, who gave that the name Bilal to Masjid Bilal in Cleveland.
What? You're a very wise man. And I don't say that. I don't put that on everybody. I know you're wise. I've observed you. You've been in a few of my Ramadan sessions, and I'm a pretty good reader of people. So you, using your wisdom, before we go to the next question, is why do you think Imam Muhammad would choose the name? He could have chosen that name, Masjid Adam. Why did he decide in Cleveland, right in the heart of basically a historical African-American neighborhood, to call that masjid, to name that masjid, Masjid Bilal?
Well, you know the history of Bilal.
Why don't you recount it to our audience?
Well,
we have a large non-Muslim audience that you are speaking to.
Well, Bilal was the first caller to prayer. And I believe that Imam Muhammad saw that that masjid being the first masjid, that it would be the most appropriate name would be Bilal, to call the people to prayer, to call the people to come for Salat and come there at Masjid Bilal.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask you if you can give us some background, but I had another question. I can't remember. Call the question. But I'm working the board here and doing both things. But I do want us to know who Brother Imam Clyde Rockman was. And in real sense, I said who he is, because I can hear him right now hollering, "Help yourself." So it is. He would have said some other choice words, too, to me, and have. So I want you to tell us who Imam Clyde Rockman was and is, because He's still living with us. Allah said, don't speak of those who die in his way as being dead. They're not dead, but we perceive them not. So I know he's watching over Masjid Bilal. He can't say anything to us, but we can give him a good send-off and a good life. So tell us a bit about Imam Clyde Rahman, as much as you know.
Well, but Imam, as I said before, he was the project director in building Masjid Bilal. He was instrumental in securing the location of the property. He was a spearhead in fundraising that project. And he was I believe he was the imam of Masjid Bilal since about 1978. And there was quite a few firsts with him. He was the first Muslim chaplain in Cleveland. He was on quite a number of different community boards and community committees. He was friends with many of the mayors in Cleveland, including Mayor White and current Mayor Jackson. He was friends with Congressman Lou Stokes and Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones. He was involved in a number of community organizations, and he was a hard-working person who I would say one of his best traits was he was a very good organizer. He could put things together and organize things. He was a good fundraiser. He was a hands-on type of leader. I could go on and on and on and on and on.
You have any biographical?
You could have a whole show just about him.
I believe he was born in Mississippi.
Yes,
he played music, too. He's quite a card player, I know. And came to Detroit and was in the nation, if I'm not mistaken. I think
he was
in the nation in the early 50s. I mean, he was there. Also had been a police officer. But one of the things that struck me the most about him was his ability to get along with outside members of the outer community. And that he was a friend, as you said, of Congressman Louis Stokes, the former mayor, Carl Stokes, obviously Stephanie Tubbs Jones, but even the Reverend Otis Moss.
That's correct. I forgot about that. They were good friends.
Yeah, they were good friends, and Reverend Moss is one of a very historic pastor and has produced the third Moss, who has now succeeded the Reverend Jeremiah Wright Trinity Church in Chicago. But Reverend Moss, I believe, was pastor of the Mount Olivet Institute.
That is correct.
I believe Mount Olivet Missionary Baptist Church. So I, as a young man aspiring to the pulpit, just to see Otis Moss was like us seeing a cardinal. And later on, know that he was a friend of a Muslim. I still have affinity for our great mother churches. I've never given that up, never will give it up, because it nurtured my spirituality. I think it's a great testimony to Imam Clyde Rahman that he maintained that relationship, and we should maintain that relationship. I want to come to Cleveland and visit with the pastor of the Word Church. His name escapes me. He's on the Word Network every Sunday. I used to watch it, but I want to meet those great pastors. The Reverend McMichaels that was over at the Antioch Baptist Church in Cleveland. We have to create those relationships, because I believe that those churches will donate, because we want to understand that we are connected. Bilal was in Ethiopia, a Christian country, as a refuge, and we have had to sometime hold our meetings in Christian churches. I want to play everybody the commercial from the commercial for the on Mosque Cares Convention. Stand by.
Labor Day weekend, celebrate the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention, reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence. This year's theme. This three-day world-class event, established by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, is August 29th, 30th, and 31st. The convention will feature interactive, empowering programming and workshops, youth activities, the New Africa Marketplace, open to the public, the business... night of live entertainment. The Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention provides an opportunity to vend and shop. Open Friday, August 29th from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 30th from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, August 31st from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Labor Day weekend, attend the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the Tinley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Drive in Tinley Park. For tickets, a vendor's booth, or information online, visit MuslimConvention.net or call 708-679-1587. That's 708-679-1587.
Yes, and I will be conducting a workshop on Saturday at the convention, and I guess everybody in this audience should know what the workshop is. Religion Means Alive. We intend to take Religion Means Alive on the television waves. We intend to take it on mainstream radio, and we plan to have one of the first Muslim American radio and television ministries broadcasting the work of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And we're speaking with Brother Kareem Hassan, the treasurer of the Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio, our first masjid built by African-Americans from the ground up. Brother Kareem Hassan, I wish you would share with us some biographical information about yourself.
Okay, buddy, ma'am, I am currently Secretary Treasurer of Masjid Bilal. I've been a treasurer since 1984. I just recently retired as a firefighter for the city of Cleveland, where I spent 32 years doing that. I worked... We were talking about Imam Clyde Rockman. I worked extensively with him, and I've worked extensively with the current Imam, Imam Shafiq Sabir. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, another one of my favorite cities. We are currently working on the project of building fund of Master Bilal in Cleveland.
Now, were you always a Muslim? Tell us a little bit about your religious background or people here and your educational background and your familial background.
No, I wasn't always a Muslim. I became a Muslim. I took the Shahada in 1976. At that time, I was going to school in Columbus, Ohio.
At Ohio State?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was going to Ohio State in Columbus. And a few years after that, I moved back to Cleveland, which was my home. I was raised in Cleveland, went to Cleveland Public Schools, and so I went to Ohio State. As a matter of fact, now that I remember, I got married. That was the reason I moved back to Cleveland. I got married in 75, and then accepted Islam in 76, and then moved back to Cleveland in 78. And that was right when Imam Clyde Rockman was elected Imam of, then it was Muhammad's Mosque number 18, I believe it was.
Yes, sir.
And I later became the treasurer right after we completed building of Masjid Bilal, and that was built in 83. I became treasurer in 1984.
Do you have children? And your profession had been obviously you know what we are trying to dispel in the public eye is somehow that most of us who came in the Nation of Islam came from jail background, came from non-church background. I certainly, I told somebody, unless you consider the Baptist pulpit a prison, I certainly didn't come from jail. I came from a Baptist pulpit. One day I had the fortune or misfortune of standing away from church one Sunday, and somebody knocked on my door with Muhammad Speaks newspaper, and the rest is history. The pulpit went, the robes went, the preaching went, and I followed the Ambulaj Muhammad. So that's the beginning of a lot of our history. So I would just want to know, can you just tell us a little bit about your growing up in Cleveland, your religious background? We're going to get back to the masjid, but I want people to know the kind of officials we have. Then I want you, later on, we'll ask you to share something about our dear brother and dear friend, the imam there in the masjid. So, yes.
Yeah, so you're right. A lot of people do have misconceptions about Muslims and their past. They don't realize that Muslims are just like everyone else. We go to school. We have jobs. We pay taxes. We're married. We have children. Our children go to school. We own homes. We own businesses. We're a lot like your average person or average American.
Were you a member of a church prior to coming into the community of Islam in America?
Believe it or not, I wasn't. My mother belonged to a church. I went to church very few times as growing up, but when I first heard Al-Islam, which was in Columbus, Ohio, I was just mesmerized. I was ready to go. I was gung-ho. It was something I had never heard before.
That's another interesting phenomenon that a lot of people don't know in the African-American community. Is that a lot of our people are unchurched. They've never joined the church. I know people in my hometown, and I came from a real so-called Bible Belt, Lynchburg, Virginia, but there are people who just never were part of the church, and you're part of that history. Your mother went to church. You can read on your face sincerity and purity. I was telling Imam Muhammad one time, I said, "Brother Imam, you know, that's a good brother." He said, "You don't have to tell me about that brother being a good brother. Even look at him, see he's good." So, you know, yes, continue. So tell us, do you have children?
Yes, I have three children, three daughters. Two are grown and out the house. My youngest daughter is attending Miami University of Ohio. This is her senior year, so she'll be graduating summer of 2015. So I'm proud of that. And I have five grandchildren.
Wow.
Just had a newborn this past December. So he's about, 8 months, 9 months old now.
Are your children are they Muslims?
My youngest daughter is, yes. I'm currently married. My wife would kill me if I don't say that. So,
yes,
I am.
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't want a murder in Cuyahoga County.
Right. And I am currently enjoying retirement like you wouldn't believe.
You know, I don't believe that. You're too active not to be enjoying.
Well,
you're not retired because you're the treasurer of the message, secretary of treasurer of the message. That means you really are not retired. You're just retired.
Right,
Tell us how you became a fireman and what was that like to be an African-American and even a Muslim fireman in the city of Cleveland, which has a very active fire department.
Yes, and you know what? When 9/11 happened, that's when people were just so amazed that not only was I a firefighter, but an African-American firefighter and a Muslim firefighter, a Muslim African-American firefighter at that. People were just amazed because they had misconceptions about what happened at 9/11 and misconceptions about Muslims. So the firefighting profession is an honorable profession. I enjoyed all 32 years of it. It was an incredible experience. I can't say enough about that. I could go on and on and on about that. I met some outstanding people, and as a matter of fact, believe it or not, it was a Muslim brother who at the time was a recruiter for the firefighter who got me involved in being a firefighter. You know, it wasn't something I wanted to do at the time, but he talked to me, encouraged me to go out and try out and apply for the job, and I did it, and it's been wonderful ever since.
What rank did you hold in the fire department? You guys are paramilitary unit, so, you know, you didn't have to serve in the FOI. Now you could be in another paramilitary organization. And that was an encouragement of Imam Muhammad. I want the audience also to know that. He encouraged us to enter into these other, to fill all facets of American life. Tell us what ranks you held.
That is correct. Imam Muhammad did do that. I retired as a lieutenant on the Cleveland Fire Department.
And what does
you're
it
right.
mean to be a lieutenant? What does that entail? Supervising a battalion? Tell us kind of how the fire department is organized. We still talk about Masjid Bilal because you're a product of Masjid Bilal.
Yes.
That's why we're giving our donations to support Masjid Bilal, and that's why the next question we're going to describe, Father, as you tell us about the fire department, I want you to segue right on in to telling us about Masjid Bilal, its physical structure, how it's built, and what facilities you have there. But I want you to tell us about the fire department, then you tell us about the department you now head, the secretary and treasurer of Masjid Bilal.
Okay. The fire department is, like you said, a paramilitary organization. It is broken down into ranks, firefighter, lieutenant, captain, chiefs. It's organized. It's the way it was set up in Cleveland, it was broken down into battalions or districts, some people may call. I believe at the time when I left, it was about a little less than 700 man department. When I left, it was going through some changes as far as reorganizing and merging with other organizations within the department. So it gave me an opportunity to work with the community, being involved with a lot of different situations. Most of it was on an emergency basis, which is a little different from just being with people. Because when you're in an emergency situation, you're dealing with people at their worst. You know, they're stressed, they're panicky, they're hurt, they're despair, they're just, and you're coming into that situation and you're coming to help and you're coming to provide care. And that was a wonderful situation. Now, to Master Bilal.
Let me ask you one question about this fire department. Now, a lieutenant, you have battalions, you have, so lieutenant means you were a commander like a shift or something of that nature for a particular engine company?
Correct, yes,
Okay, now tell us about Masjid Bilal and its organization. And actually, is there any connections between your working for the fire department and working for the treasury department of Masjid Bilal?
I don't know if there was any connection. I can say this, and I forgot about when 9/11 happened. The year after that, we spearheaded a like honor, paying honor to the fallen in New York in 9/11, and we organize different religious organizations and different members of the fire department and police department and EMS, and we came together and we met at Master Blau. We did that 3 years in a row. So we did that 2002, 2003, and 2004. And it was a lot of people were shocked at that it would be held at a masjid.
Mm-hmm.
And the organization of Master Blau, we have a secretarial staff. It's composed of five people. We have an imam staff. We have committees. We have different committees. We have about four or five different committees. We have a business committee. We have a dawah committee, a fundraising committee, a men's and women's association, and another organization that we're proud of that I forgot to mention is we started a Clyde Rockman Community Center here at Master
Blau. Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, that started, I want to say maybe 5 years ago. I may be wrong. It may be 5 or 6 years ago. And it was a nonprofit organization that was started in honor of Imam Clyde Rockman. And one of the themes is help yourself.
Help yourself.
And yes, help yourself. And they provide different events such as Seniors Are Jewels. They sponsor computer labs and other meetings for seniors. We just had one on health, sort of like a health fair. And they're doing good work, and we're very proud of them.
Yes. Now, tell us about Imam. The Imam Sabir, his name is, I can see his face very clearly right now. The Imam of the Masjid there. His name is Brother Imam Sabir, right?
That's correct. Imam Shafiq Sabir is currently the resident.
Shafiq Sabir, yes. Tell
Shafiq
us about
Sabir.
Him.
He is currently resident Imam of Masjid Blau. He's been the Imam since the passing of Imam Clyde Rockman, which was in 2008. And he is working hard and continuing a lot of the work that was done by Imam Clyde Rockman. And we're still involved in a lot of the community activities. And we still hold on some of the, a lot of the friends that we had over the years. So we're continuing the work that Imam Clyde Rockman and Imam Warifdin Muhammad has done.
Yes. Now you have, what is the community center? What does that feature? What's some of the features of the community center?
Well, it's in its infant stage, and it's located, it has space inside Masjid Blau that it uses along with Masjid Blau. And we work together on a lot of different projects, a lot of things that the community center gets involved in are some things that, you know, maybe the masjid would not want to get involved in, but we want to have people coming to the masjid for different types of events and projects and workshops and seminars and so it's an outreach program that, you know, goes out in the community, and it focuses on a lot on the seniors. It has just a lot of programs that they want to work on. They're trying to secure some property that's next door to Masjid for future, a long-term future building site of an actual building. But that's a long-term project. And like I said before, we're really proud of the community center.
Give us again the address and how one can donate.
Okay. If you would like to help us in rebuilding Masjid Bilal, you can donate in really two ways. You can go on our website. The website is www.masjidbilalofcleveland.org. That's www.masjid, M-A-S-J-I-D, Bilal, B-I-L-A-L, of Cleveland.org. That's one word, MasjidBilalofCleveland.org. Second way you can donate is by sending a check or money order to Masjid Bilal Building Fund. That's Masjid Bilal Building Fund at the address of 7401 Euclid Avenue. That's E-U-C-L-I-D, Euclid Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio, 44103.
Okay, with that.
Labor Day weekend, celebrate the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention, reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence. This year's theme. This three-day world-class event, established by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, is August 29th, 30th, and 31st. The convention will feature interactive, empowering programming and workshops, youth activities, the New Africa Marketplace, open to the public, the Business Expo, and a culture night of live entertainment. Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention provides an opportunity to bend and shop. Open Friday, August 29th. August 30th from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, August 31st from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Labor Day weekend, attend the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the Tenley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Drive in Tenley Park. For tickets, a vendor's booth, or information online, visit MuslimConvention.net or call 708-679-1587. That's 708-679-1587.
We're speaking with Brother Secretary Treasurer Kareem Hassan of Masjid Bilal in the great city of Cleveland, Ohio, a very important historic city for our people. It's also the home state of the great Chloe Watkins, better known to the public as Toni Morrison, also the home state of Chester Himes. We are honored and privileged beyond words to have with us the Secretary Treasurer of the Masjid, the historic Masjid. He's a native Clevelander. I think he was born in Memphis, Tennessee. Interested in Memphis, Tennessee. We are all coming to Memphis for the Time to Be Grateful dinner sponsored by the Muslim Journal. I'm going to ask you a question that has been on my mind, and that is that Cleveland Muslims have been historically a major trendsetter in the community of El Islam and the Nation of Islam, a burgeoning business community. And, Brother Imam, I don't think it'd be in the next 2 to 3 years. I think it'll be quicker than you think that you all will have that site up, and I can see housing and schools and a real district near the Cleveland Clinic with you all. I think you're going to have a phenomenal growth, and we and our ministry are hoping to help be a part of that. We believe that the African-American community, in particular, is invited to El Islam. I'd like to come to Cleveland and honor the brother who freed those three slaves. I think it was three slaves he freed. And if you all can get in touch with him, I'd like to have him on the program. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh. Are you talking about the girls?
Yes. Those were actually slaves. And this African-American brother risked his life, freedom. We should honor him. I would love to have him at a banquet like we used to have. You know, remember those banquets? And we should honor him. If we don't lift people like that up, that's a genuine hero in the city of Cleveland, Ohio. What is it? I forget this brother's name, but I would love to be put in touch with him. And I'd love to come there in Cleveland and have a banquet and invite him and give him an award and invite the people from her family to come and know that we have outstanding African-Americans who are willing to risk their lives to free slaves. And Bilal was ex-slave. I think it would be a very historic event. We like to plan it. We'd love to come to Cleveland to extol the virtues of freeing the slaves. And I think when we as Muslims participate more fully in the community, as Brother Imam Clyde, Help Yourself, Rahman would do. He was known in the community. He opened the doors of the fire department, the police department. He had an open door to the mayor. We have to do that in all these cities that we're in. Now, you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. We want you to give us a game, the address, how we can contribute. And I want you to tell us something about the physical structure of Masjid Bilal.
Okay, the physical structure of Masjid Bilal, it's a two-story structure. The masala is located on the first floor. We were very, very fortunate when we built the masjid that we were able to point it toward the Kaaba, meaning as soon as you walk in the front door, you are positioned in front of the Kaaba in that direction. On the first floor also, you have the imam's office. You have the secretary's office. We have a library that we dedicated to Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we have four classrooms located also on the first floor. On the second floor, which is the lower level, we have what we call a multi-purpose room, which is a big room that can hold about 300 people. We use that for receptions, concerts, workshops, programs, dinners, any kind of event of that sort. There's also restrooms and voodoo rooms for both men and women. We have our kitchen facility. We have one classroom downstairs now that the community center is using for a computer lab. Where we were day, the community center, I mean, instructs individuals in computers, how to operate computers. And we have also downstairs just a couple of other rooms that are currently used for either storage or other offices. We're located on the corner of 75th Street and Euclid Avenue, which has been 75th Street has been renamed Bilal Way. So we're located on the corner of Euclid and Bilal Way. In the rear of the building is a parking lot. This can hold about 50 to 75 cars. And we are located in the heart of Cleveland, right down the street from the Cleveland Clinic.
Now tell us, that's a powerful historic clinic. Tell us a little bit about Cleveland Clinic. See how almighty God that is to our public, Allah, we say, has positioned us. Here you have a healing center for the spiritual and the mental and the educational. And there you have a physical to heal your physical body. I think my brother Imam Clyde Rahman visited one of, I believe it was the king of Saudi Arabia, was a patient there. People come from all over the world to the historic Cleveland Clinic. And I didn't realize it was right down the street from Al Masjid. That's a powerful, I want you to put your spiritual eye on and just give us your commentary, free as you like, about that kind of juxtaposition.
Well, Brother Ma'am, it was the vision of Clyde Rahman to, as he, and I'll put it in his word, in his words, to put us on Front Street, as he used to say, meaning we had to be right where the action was, right on the main street of Cleveland, so that people were going to work, coming from work, going to the store, going here, going there, would pass by a masjid. That was the goal. That was his vision. That's what he wanted for us. And I remember when we first took on that project, Euclid Avenue was a completely different place than what it is now. The Cleveland Clinic was a small hospital down the street. You know, it wasn't known for, you know, half of what it is known for today. And since we like to say, and this is, we joke about this, but we like to say, simply because we built Master Blount on Euclid, everything else or everybody else decides to come to Euclid Avenue. And the city has changed the landscape of Euclid Avenue. They put a transit system right down Euclid Avenue that was completely different from before. So everything has started building up around Master Blount. And,
well,
Cleveland,
there's a reason for that. And that is we have been known to keep order. And I don't think we know how important we are to the world. If the king of Saudi Arabia and other rich and powerful people come to that hospital, and that came after us, that should tell us that Imam Muhammad was not a joke when he said remake the world, and Imam Clyde Rahman was saying help yourself. The leaders of the society, what we call in scriptural language, the heavens. And I remember when the earth was pretty bad on Cleveland, on Euclid Avenue. One didn't want to be called lost. I traveled to the United States in the civil rights days. And Euclid Avenue was not an avenue. I believe it's Superior Avenue, another avenue. What is that avenue? The avenue next over. But you didn't want to be in that area, certainly at night. I mean, there were riots that taken place, but Imam Clyde Rahman showed with his help yourself approach to life and putting us on Front Street. That's the problem with us. I'm just going to preach a second and tell us we don't need to be on the back street. We need to be on the Front Street, and that's why you should support Masjid Bilal's financial campaign to raise $250,000. I wish we was raising $25 million, and I don't believe that we can't raise that money. We have taken up a collection. I remember one year at Savior's Day, we raised in one day's time $1 million. $1 million. So the job of religion means a lot. My particular job is to mobilize this sleeping giant. There are at least 2.5 million Muslims. There's another 8 to 9 million of us who are sympathizers, and they are listening to the radio. We plan to reach those people. And one collection, not even a collection, will raise that kind of money for Masjid Bilal. We know this potential. I want you to talk about something that you're on your way to doing, and it's a very powerful thing and very powerful ritual. You're on your way to Hajj. I'm going to miss your faith, your traveling companions, coming to the annual Muslim Mosques Convention, but you're going to a global convention. Tell us about that.
Well, Brother Ma'am, I am very, very excited about that. I've been preparing for the past year, and it's getting down to the last few weeks, and the anticipation is just incredible. Some nights I can't sleep just thinking about taking on this journey of a lifetime, and I'm almost speechless because I'm speechless. I could talk about it for a long time, but
please do. And let me ask you this: will you be going as a part of a delegation?
Yes, in our delegation, it's about 50 believers. We leave on September 19th. We're expected to be back October 11th.
Where will you be leaving from?
We'll be leaving from New York City. We're going to fly into Cairo, and then from Cairo to Jeddah, and then from Jeddah straight on to Mecca.
Tell us, to our non-Muslim audience, set it up for us, the Hajj. Because most of us African-Americans don't know anything much about it. Imam Muhammad introduced it to us. He introduced it first to Minister Malcolm, but really the first person to introduce the pilgrimage, even though he didn't make Hajj, he made Umrah, which is Hajj out of season, to the holy precinct. That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But just share with us, Hajj, what do you expect? And just your own impressions. And I know, when I left for Hajj in 1978, it was hard to sleep the night before.
Hey, it's about 3 weeks out for me, and it's hard to sleep now. So, but for the non-Muslim audience, most people would think the Hajj has a lot to do with Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's really not about Prophet Muhammad. It's more about Prophet Ibrahim. And for the non-Muslim audience, if you remember the story of Abraham from the Bible, Abraham was married to Sarah, and Sarah couldn't bear children, so she gave her handmaiden to Abraham. Her handmaiden was Hagar, and Hagar bore a child, and Sarah became jealous because she bore a child, and especially because it was a boy. That child was Ishmael. And God commanded Abraham to take Hagar and the child away. He took the child to what's present-day Mecca. And he left Hagar and the child, and when he left, Hagar was going back and forth between two hills and searching for food, water, and help. And while she was searching, water gushed up out of the ground near the baby. And that story is what the Hajj is all about. It's the story. Hajj is about the steps that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took in paying homage to Prophet Ibrahim. So when you make Hajj, you follow the steps that Prophet Muhammad took in honoring Prophet Ibrahim. You visit the two hills, Safa and Marwa. You visit the well of Zamzam, and you go from Mecca to Medina and back to Mecca, and that's basically, making a long story real short, that's basically what Hajj is about. And
but isn't it interesting, as an African American who descended from Africa, we've seen African women, black women, degraded But we also are making a pilgrimage in honor of that great black woman, Hagar in the Bible, who was considered a slave girl, but water didn't gush up at Sarah's feet. Water gushed up at Hagar's feet. So there's a powerful story in that, that here we are, we're struggling in Ferguson, Missouri. Here we are struggling in Chicago, Illinois. Here we are struggling in Harlem, New York, and water is right at our feet. Revelation has come to us in Imam Debbie D. Muhammad. That means that God has given us understanding that's going to free us. And it was shown Imam Clyde Rothman and his Help Yourself being on Front Street has shown us we don't have to go out and beg other people. We can build facilities. We can build a masjid dedicated to God. We can build schools dedicated to God. We can build businesses dedicated to God. We can build cultural centers dedicated to God. We can build governmental and associations dedicated to God. And we can free ourselves, and we can do just what Imam Clyde Rothman told us. Help yourself. I like that. So continue, Brother Imam, Brother Secretary. Tell us.
Well, Brother Imam, I think probably the Christian community would be amazed that we Muslims take a pilgrimage to Mecca to honor Ibrahim, who was revered, very revered in al-Islam, but to them he's a biblical prophet, and we're going to Mecca.
I'm a Christian. Why should I value Abraham? Tell us something about Abraham. And I'm glad you're using that term because this is a interfaith audience. Who is Abraham? Why we as Muslims and Christians and Jews should value Abraham so much? What is his significance? What relevance? Can you share your insights on Abraham?
Oh, Brother Man, we say that Abraham is the father of faith.
Would you explain that?
Well, his virtue, his obedience to God, his obedience to Allah, the sacrifices he made, and this is he's just revered in al-Islam, and this is why.
Well, can you explain to us, Brother Secretary, why Abraham? Why did Abraham come into his knowledge of God? I think that's a powerful it's not a story, but it's a powerful narrative talking about a human being came into faith. He didn't come into faith by just getting a revelation. Tell us how he discovered God.
Buddy, ma'am, if I remember the story correctly, it was Abraham was going to, I believe he felt that, he thought that he needed to make a sacrifice. And
yes,
he was going
and
to
also
sacrifice.
Remember, it called that he first wanted to worship the progression. He worshiped the sun. He worshiped
That's correct.
The stars. That's correct. And then he concluded that the greatest force above creation had to be that which was outside of creation. He had a scientific mind. He came to God through science and knowledge. He didn't
That's
come
correct.
To God just getting invoked in the spirit. He wanted something to worship greater than himself. And he said, oh, well, look at the star. And then it went out, and he said, wow, that couldn't be God. God would never go out. Then he looked at the moon and said, the sun is not beautiful. Then and it goes on. I don't know whether I'm following that order. But it was that he looked and he said, well, there has to be something outside of creation. And haven't we done that? Haven't we tried materialism? Haven't we tried careerism? Haven't we tried race? And we've come to the inescapable conclusion that the only thing that's worthy of our worship is the one who created us and everything in between.
That's correct.
Isn't that what you're going to be reenacting at Hajj? Then you're going to come down from Mount Arafat, and you're going to be. Tell us also about the Is it a black affair? Tell us more about the racial composition and what Minister Malcolm saw when he went to Hodge that impressed him so greatly. Actually, he already knew this because he knew from the Nation of Islam and from Imam Muhammad, but let's kind of give us his take on it.
Well, buddy, man, you must forget. I'm not that old. You know, I'm not old enough to remember a lot about Malcolm X. But I recall.
You said the autobiography claims, and
right,
I recall when
he went and made Hodge, he was astounded by how many pilgrims who didn't look like him.
Right.
And who were Caucasian looking, and just the whole mixture of the different races that were involved in making Hodge, I think that just astounded him, and he was always under the impression that it was a black man's religion.
Yeah, that is correct. And I just have to clarify his story because he knew that he'd been in Jeddah before the Amulat Muhammad. He's the one arranged for the Amulat Muhammad to go. So he knew better, but in order to kind of push his own narrative, he said he discovered all races, and that's important partially because he's engaging in mythologizing and iconography. However, it's true that when you go to Hajj, all people are there. There's not any place on the earth that's not represented. European, but everybody got to take all them garments off. The Nigerian, he got to take off of his great big hat. We got to take off our Briani's. We got to take off that tailor-made suit, them gaiters, and all one were a common garment of innocence.
That's correct.
That's a powerful story that we have two diapers on, a lower diaper and an upper diaper. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of the story, but we want to get back. We want to go right on back on Euclid Avenue, 74. What's the address? 7418.
774. To make a donation, they can send a check or money order to Masjid Bilal, 7401 Euclid Avenue. That's EUCLID Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. And the zip is 44103. Or you can go to our website.
I knew I had it right. 7401. I was saying 7418, but I was thinking about temple
01.
Number 8. Yes, that shows you how these things stick in our mind. And Cleveland was always a very productive city for us. And we are hoping to receive an invitation from you all to come back, to come to Cleveland, because we want to spend time reviving Cleveland. Not that you all are not doing it, but we want to see the city of Cleveland, particularly its shut out people, the African Americans, and we want to visit the historic religious sites there, the Mount Olivet Church, the Word Church, and others. And we want to. I envision one day, very soon, that we will see the Masjid Bilal complex as one of the mega mosques. I really believe that. But you can contribute to that by sending your donation to Masjid Bilal. Now, you have talked a little bit about, what this $250,000 will go towards. You have already raised $50,000. What will this $250,000 go towards?
$250,000 will go toward replacing our roof. And over the years, since we built in 1983, we have to upgrade to make our facility handicap accessible. That's a must. A lot of our members, a lot of the believers are getting up in the age, and not only for that reason, but in order to attract the outside public, we have to make our facility handicap accessible. Is very important and it's very necessary. We have, like I mentioned before, we have restrooms on the lower level. We need to put a restroom on the upper level so that when people come into the building, into the first floor, into the masala, before they do that, before they go into Masala, they can have restroom facilities. We have to upgrade our inside. We need new windows. We need carpet. We need almost a complete renovation. But the most important part that the $250,000 would be for is to replace our roof. We have to do a complete tear off and a complete replacement of our roof structure.
So this is very important for the integrity of the building itself, right? Are you having leaks now?
That's correct. Yes, we are. And winter is coming, and it is. We will have buckets, and we'll be up on the roof patching and plugging and stopping and all kind of stuff.
How much do you think it would cost just for the roof job alone?
That would be $150,000.
Okay. And you're not seeking any loans. You're seeking to have to remain debt free.
Yes, but a loan is not completely out of the question.
So, in other words, if you don't get the money, you have to perhaps get a loan.
That's correct.
But currently, the building is debt free.
That is correct.
And you want to remain that way. Okay.
We would like to be, but yes.
You know, there's enough of us in this community. That, I mean, really, if we think about it, we just had a regional convention.
Yeah.
We're going to have to mobilize this community. It is absolutely central. And that's what our ministry is. Our ministry is dedicated to the proposition that the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad has to be mobilized to build the physical world where we are. You know, we concerned about what's going on overseas. We concerned about, I'm concerned first and foremost about where I am as a people. And I want to see Masjid Bilal grow, expand, and have a megabox. All some people say, we don't need a megabox. No, I don't know where you all get this idea from. That was never Imam Muhammad's intention to keep us small. And Imam Clyde Rotman in his Help Yourself spirit always believed in being on Front Street. We got to be on Front Street. We want the world to know that we are dedicated to being on Front Street. So we're going to continue. Give us the address again.
If you would like to make a donation, and once again, I might have forgot to mention this, but all donations are tax deductible. If you would like to make a donation, you can do it one of two ways. You can go to our website at www.MasjidBilalOfCleveland.org. That's Masjid Bilal of Cleveland, one word, .org. Or you can send a check or money order to Masjid Bilal Building Fund. The address is 7401 Euclid Avenue, EUCLID Avenue, in Cleveland, Ohio, 44103.
By Imam W.D. Muhammad is August 29th, 30th, and 31st. The convention will feature interactive, empowering programming and workshops, youth activities, the New Africa Marketplace, open to the public, the Business Expo, and a culture night of live entertainment. Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention provides an opportunity to vend and shop. Open Friday, August 29th, from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 30th, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, August 31st, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Labor Day weekend, attend the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the Tinley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Drive in Tinley Park. For tickets, a vendor's booth, or information online, visit MuslimConvention.net or call 708-679-1587. That's 708-679-1587.
Brother Imam, I'd like for you to tell us What type of activity goes on at the Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio?
Well, buddy, man, we have our regular Jumu'ah prayer service starts at 1 o'clock on Fridays, of course. On Sunday, we have our Islamic studies, Arabic classes. That starts at 11 o'clock, ends with Dua prayer. The other activities we have, we're open for 5 daily prayers. The community center, like I said before, is active in doing its outreach programs. We have our other committees that are active, Dawah committee, we have a business committee, fundraising committee. Those activities go on in the masjid almost on a daily basis. And those are just some of the things that go on. There's a few other activities I just can't think of at the moment, but those are the major programs that are going on.
What do you have for the youth?
We have, right now we have just a small class on Sunday for the youth. There's no other activities going on during the week for the youth. We used to have a tutorial program that would help children who were having problems with their regular schools. But we don't have that at the moment. So the only activity is on Sunday.
Okay, great. Tell us about the resident imam, where he's from and how long he's been there. I know Brother Imam Sultan, and I want you to please give him the greetings. Would you tell us about your resident imam?
Resident Imam of Masjid Bilal currently is Imam Shafiq Sabir. He has been the resident imam since the passing of Imam Clyde Rockman in 2008. And he was an assistant imam under Clyde Rockman for many years. I'm going to say almost 20 years he was an assistant imam. So he was very knowledgeable in the community and very knowledgeable in the religion. And I believe Imam Sabir was from New York. I believe he was from New York. He's been living in Cleveland for as long as I've known him, which was from the 70s. He's married, children, grandchildren. So that's Imam Shafiq Sabir. Pardon?
Is he a full-time imam?
Yes, he is. Yes.
And what was his profession or field of endeavor prior to being imam?
Imam Sabir was working in the steel mills before he retired from there.
Okay. All right, great. So we have an exciting, well, that's when Cleveland was humming. You go through Cleveland, it was a smog city because Cleveland was, in fact, a very industrial city, and it's now, I think it's going through a new rebirth. You're right on the on one of the great lakes. Tell us a lot more about the city of Cleveland and its significance to the American society and even to the African-American society.
Yes, you're right. Cleveland is going through a rebirth. Cleveland was one of the old steel towns, as they used to call it, like unlike Detroit and Chicago and other cities along the north coast of the Great Lakes. Cleveland was involved in the steel industry, and it was a booming industrial town. But that has changed. A lot of that industry has gone, and now it's becoming a city. I want to say industry like the Cleveland Clinic is one of that type of industry is now becoming part of what Cleveland is about. Organizations like the Cleveland Clinic, University Hospital, they just built the Medical Mart downtown, our sports facilities, the new Brown Stadium, the Indian Stadium, and that's what I believe Cleveland is becoming. African American community is still somewhat centered around the center of town. You mentioned the Huff community. The Huff community has changed from the 60s and 70s. It's now, there's a lot of upscale homes in the Huff community still owned by African Americans. We have an African American mayor, and before him we had another African American mayor, Mayor Mike White, who did a lot of good work in Cleveland. We have an African American police chief. Cleveland has changed, and I think it's changed just like other cities of its type had to change in order to survive. We had to get away from the industry and go more towards service and other type of occupations and industries to keep Cleveland going.
Now, let me ask you this. Give us some historical facts about the African-American community in Cleveland. Where are most of the people from? I think some of you all are from Alabama. Seems Alabama has given a large population to Cleveland, and even Georgia, some Tennessee. Tell us about that, please.
Well, I can't speak for the majority of Clevelanders. Like I said before, my family came up from Tennessee, from Memphis. My parents grew up in Tennessee and Mississippi, so they migrated just like a lot of people of their generation migrated north to get a better job, and that's what my father did. That's what my parents did. I think you would agree that a lot of the trend is now people from north is going back down south.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
well,
and
that is true. It is true, and we're in a major shift.
Right.
I don't want to say too much about it. Well, I will say this. I'm advocating us building the homeland in the South. I think the South is our homeland. I have nostalgia for the cities, but I think where we could form a majority at is in some of these southern states. I don't want to give up on the cities. I think that we have to also look at other industries and the North, and we should be getting into the medical business. We should be developing industries for us. Maybe we need to reindustrialize America. I don't buy the idea that America is not is just to be a service economy. I think that there are certain cynical forces that made that decision. You know, the steel mills, you come to Youngstown, Ohio, and steel mills was humming. Jobs were plentiful. Imam Muhammad said if America is going to be reindustrialized, it will have to be us. And that's why I'm such a great supporter of the Cleveland message, because I want to see us develop a new mind, a new spirit, a people who are determined to pick up what Adam picked up. And Adam was an industrialist. We have to be industrialists. You know, we can still figure a way to make steel cheaper and more quality. We can still figure a way to make paper. All of that will come out of our masjid if we go into the Quran, as Imam Muhammad has invited us to go into the Quran. He said, go into the Quran with this spirit. Oh Allah, give me what you know I need to be a better Muslim and more obedient to you. That's what we want. And God will grant us utility. You know, God says in the Quran that he made everything in creation for man and made man for his mercy. Everything. So the all of the animals, all of the, everything that's in the sea, everything that's in, that we could see and perceive, is for us. Now it's up to us to utilize it. That's why it's so vital to have a free mind, that Imam Muhammad has given us, with a new Quranic mind, with new insights, independent thinking, independent spirit, independent will. We have that. And we can move.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh,
those people right there. You have to see them. Excuse me, I'm on the end. Just ring the bell upstairs. I don't know. Just ring the bell. Excuse me, on the air, I have a tenant matter that had to be settled. But anyway, yeah, I think we have to do. Would you care to comment on that, Brother Imam?
You say comment on...
Yes.
On what?
The comment I was just making about how our importance of our messages, our own understanding, so that we can also develop the material world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right. We can revitalize some of these American cities because if who else is going to do it? If all the industry is leaving... And that means the jobs are leaving. So what are we going to do? We got to do something.
Yes. And we can do something. We have a $1.1 trillion economy. We can really develop, and we have to develop. We have about 8 more minutes. Anybody like to join the conversation, you can dial 805-727-7013. The board is lit up. And any of you like to comment, and those of you who listen via phone, you can just press 1 on your phone and you will be brought on the air. I want to say to Brother Frederick, Kareem Hassan, that you will announce. All they have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio and download this, and other people can listen. Because I think what this program, I don't think I know this program, is vital to our people there in Cleveland. And our people in Cleveland was very vital to us. And I remember that there was a great business renaissance among the African Americans, as started by the Nation of Islam. But I think Cleveland, well, I don't think, I keep saying I think, I know, Cleveland was one of our more productive cities in terms of small businesses that were developed there in Cleveland. And I think that we push hard and push new energy into Cleveland and invest time and money into Cleveland. Cleveland can produce for us before for another time. That's what we're looking for. We want productive minds. Yes. Continue, Brother Imam. Can you continue? I have to take this call. We have about 4 minutes. Can you take this call? Yes, sir. Continue, Brother Trader. Yes, sir. That's all I can, Brother Imam.
Yes, we were talking about the city of Cleveland and revitalizing the city of Cleveland and other cities and revitalizing it by African Americans. And Cleveland was one of those cities back in the 60s that had a booming economy. And I think that's just like any other city, like Detroit or Chicago, any other northern city like Chicago. Oh. Detroit, Milwaukee, and Buffalo, and, you know.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all right. Excuse me, brother. We're getting ready for that. Just like you all are getting ready for Hajj, we're getting ready for the convention. And
yeah.
Brother called me right in the middle of the program. But we are working to go to the Tinley Park Convention Center. And I'm going to play again the commercial. Continue, brother. Oh, let me see here just a minute. Okay. Give us the address and tell us again the importance of this very important message in our people's history.
Yes, buddy, ma'am. We at Master Bilal in Cleveland are embarking on a fundraising campaign to replace our roof and to make needed upgrades to our facility. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, you can do it in one of two ways. You can visit our website at www.MasjidBilalofCleveland.org and make a tax-deductible donation, or you can send a check or money order to Masjid Bilal Building Fund, 7401 Euclid Avenue. That's EUCLID, Euclid Avenue, in Cleveland, Ohio, 44103. All donations are tax deductible.
Thank you.
Labor Day weekend, celebrate the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention, reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence. This year's theme. This three-day world-class event, established by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, is August 29th, 30th, and 31st. The convention will feature interactive, empowering programming and workshops, youth activities, the New Africa Marketplace, open to the public, the Business Expo, and a culture night of live entertainment. The Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention provides an opportunity to vend and shop. Open Friday, August 29th, from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 30th, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, August 31st, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Labor Day weekend, attend the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the Tinley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Drive in Tinley Park. For tickets, a vendor's booth, or information online, visit MuslimConvention.net or call 708-679-1587. That's 708-679-1587.
Yes, and we're speaking with Brother Kareem Hassan of Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio, at 7401 Euclid Avenue in Cleveland, right down the street from the Cleveland Clinic. They need $250,000. Winter's coming up, and the winters are quite harsh there in the city of Cleveland, and right on the lake. And the second thing is the snowstorms has to affect that roof and compromise even the foundation. So we are really in a dire emergency. We need the money. We need you to donate to Masjid Bilal. I think that all of us should come together. We got the Masjid out in Queens. They got a need. We should have a massive fundraising the way we did back in the Nation of Islam days. And, you know, we got people like LeBron James. We got all those stars from Cleveland. The OJs, they should be involved in this too. And if you all will support Religion Means Alive, I will go to the African-American stars, the African-American community, and say to them, help us to build Masjid Bilal. This is a part of your heritage, too. You know, we look at the Civil Rights Movement. We talk about the Civil Rights Movement. But nobody talks about how important the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Ellis Long was in bringing about the change in America for the better. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that there wouldn't be a President Obama had it not been for Imam Muhammad picking up the American flag, and he making it possible for us to see ourselves as Americans. That's a hard pill for African Americans to swallow after getting whipped in Tennessee, Mississippi, Virginia. I'm from Lynchburg, Virginia. I could never swallow patriotism until Imam Muhammad gave me a palatable medicine. We should not forget that. Our dear brother wouldn't have been on the police department because Muslims didn't believe in being in the police department. So we should understand our importance, and our African-American public should understand our importance. and the Muslims in this community should understand their importance. We are the most important thing, people, thoughts moving on the planet Earth, bar none. So as we close out, Brother Imam, will you give us, Brother, I'm putting you on the Imam post. Let me not do that. Let me put you on the treasure post because we need you to collect that money when it comes in and give us those receipts. Tell us why we should support the Masjid Bilal.
Well, Brother Imam, like we said before, Masjid Bilal was the first masjid built by African Americans under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Imam W.D. Muhammad once said that we should build masjids that reflect our culture, meaning our African American culture. And when he said that, our Imam at the time, Imam Clyde Rockman, went to work in doing just that. And our masjid, Masjid Bilal, was built by, the work done to build Masjid Bilal was done by 60% of the work done to build Masjid Bilal was done by the believers. And when we opened our doors in June of 1983, we were debt free. Since 1983, and in the last few years, we have not been able to maintain the structure like we really needed to, and we are trying to raise $250,000 for roof replacements, making our building handicap accessible, replacing the infrastructure of the building, and we're asking for your help. If you can help and would like to donate, you can do it one of two ways. You can go to our website, www.masjidbilalofcleveland.org, and you can make a payment using a credit card or PayPal, or you can send a check or money order to Masjid, that's M-A-S-J-I-D, Bilal, B-I-L-A-L, Building Fund, 7401 Euclid Avenue, E-U-C-L-I-D Avenue, in Cleveland, Ohio, and the zip is 44101.
Labor Day weekend, celebrate the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention, reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence, is this year's theme. This three-day world-class event, established by Imam W.D. Muhammad, is August 29th, 30th, and 31st. The convention will feature interactive, empowering programming and workshops, youth activities, the New Africa Marketplace, open to the public, the Business Expo, and a culture night of live entertainment. Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention provides an opportunity to vend and shop. Open Friday, August 29th, from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 30th, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And Sunday, August 31st, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Labor Day weekend, attend the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the Tinley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Drive in Tinley Park. For tickets, a vendor's booth, or information online, visit MuslimConvention.net or call 708-679-1587. That's 708-679-1587.
Thank you, dear beloved people. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You'll listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, of the host of Religion Means Alive.